Hello, everyone. Welcome back to the Renewed Podcast. I am Dr. J, and this is my co-host,
Jody.
And we are so glad that you are back with us. This is what, week three, four?
Oh, is it four?
Yeah. Is it? Yeah, I think it's four.
Are you sure?
Yes, it is.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, because the last one we did, we were in here.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, week wow. Four.
Wow, time flies when you're having fun, huh?
True.
Well, we are excited for a number of reasons.
You're giving a little bit of a hint right here.
I am repping.
Yeah.
I am repping the birds.
Yep.
Roadrunners. This past weekend, we went back to San Antonio for my youngest son's college graduation at UTSA. Yeah.
Shout out. Yeah, he graduated. So that was really exciting. It was nice to go back down and just be able to celebrate. It was good.
It was. It's good to see my son and that he accomplished this. He's what, 19?
He's 20.
20.
Dad. So he started in 2022. So he started in 2022.
22.
Graduated in 2025.
2023.
Yeah.
2022 at high school.
Yeah.
And then college here, 2025.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's something. Mm-hmm. I think all of y'all did it in like 3 years or less. You did it in 2.5?
Yes. And Jerilyn, I think, did it in 2.5 years. And Jude,
three?
He graduated 2023. He did it in 3 years.
In 3 years.
Yeah. Or 4 years. Four. He did four.
Yeah. 4 years. Yeah. So, oh, yeah, because he transferred.
Yes. Yeah.
He transferred over to Liberty.
Everyone's college journey is different. That's the crazy thing about college.
Yeah. And, well, you know, my wife and I are extremely proud. We have four children. All four of them graduated college. All four of them graduated with honors in high school.
Yeah.
I'm just flexing, sorry.
Oh, my God. Yeah, it's okay. You're proud.
Yeah. And then we have two that are in the master's program. Judah is getting his Master of Divinity from Liberty.
Mm-hmm.
And Joe.
A Master of Art in Religion. In Christian apologetics. Yep. I've already completed 1 year of that, which is crazy. I know. I started last fall and now I'm still going. I'm not on my summer break yet. I'm taking full-time summer courses for the first half. I can't believe it.
Yeah, that's something.
Yeah.
That's something.
So today we're talking about
education.
Yeah. We're talking about education. It's a good segue. It kind of makes sense. It's been just a lot of it has been talked about lately, especially with Drea's graduation and just me and Judah being in school. Mm-hmm. We've been talking about it more recently, just in general.
Yeah. I mean, it's, I'll tell you, it's not a subject that I engaged in when I was your age or younger.
Yeah.
And in my home, we didn't really, I guess, discuss education, like higher education.
Yeah. So I was going to ask you, what is your education journey prior to college? Wow. Talking about high school.
Yeah. Well, talking about high school, I went to high school to have fun.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Like a lot of us. Yeah.
Yeah. And, but I had too much fun.
Mm.
And I always tell people that I was so smart that I got an early release.
Which means, AKA,
Oh, yeah.
Or dropped out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I dropped out my senior year.
I know. How many months did you have left?
About three.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, about 3 months. And it just, you know, back then, I think back in the 80s, life was a bit more different. It seems a little bit more simple.
Yeah.
You know, I think back then a high school graduation or equivalent could get you through.
Yeah.
You know, obviously college was always important and has always been important. I think it may always be important. I often tell people that you don't need a degree, you know, to advance in life, but you certainly need education.
Yeah, for sure. And I think now just the way jobs are now, a lot of them require college degrees. A lot of them don't, though. I would say it's still kind of, I guess, half similar to back then in the 80s, because a lot of jobs don't require college degrees, but college degrees, we believe, are very valuable.
And it just seems like it opens doors.
Oh, yeah.
That we have a nephew who's in the tech industry.
Yeah.
Obviously, you know, many of you are probably watching that you may be in the tech industry and you realize, I don't need a degree.
Yeah, exactly.
And that's my nephew, you know, he has noticed now that in the upper rankings, I guess, of the business,
yeah,
in order to advance, he needs a degree.
Yeah.
Like he's, I don't want to say capped out, but he's somewhere near the limit without a degree.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if he was like an Elon Musk or, you know, Jobs or, you know, someone like that, they can have their own company, then obviously you don't need it.
Mm-hmm.
But to advance within a company, I think a degree just makes it easier.
Yeah. And outside of that, too, depending on the industry you're in, college degrees also, while you're in college, help with networking, right, things like that, getting connected to people that work in areas that you want to work in. So I think that's a valuable thing about college, too. And also being able to, it helps your brain. You know, when you're in college, you're able to read, or you have to read, and then say you have to write an essay or something on what you just read. And so you're practicing that action of reflection and communications. And it just helps you to develop those parts of your brain and strengthen them.
Yeah.
So
that's something.
Yeah.
You know, I really never thought of it. Like, you never been into a deep thought and say, okay, what's outside of a degree, what's education good for? But
Yeah. You're
right. I mean, it really keeps the brain active.
Yeah. And that's what I'm really enjoying in master's degree, because it's even more of that. It challenges your mind and causes you to think critically and just think deeper. That maybe not being in college, yeah, you can still read books and buy the books, but it's a lot of it is the reflecting on it and applying what you've learned and things like that.
And having conversations with your peers.
Yeah.
You know, find out what they took, maybe from an article that could be different, a different take. You know, every perspective is different.
Yeah.
You can be looking at the same thing and get something completely different out of it.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And I was going to ask you, so you dropped out of high school and then you have your PhD. So that's a crazy jump. And so when did you decide to go back to school? Like, how did that journey look?
Well, you know, obviously I dropped out of high school, then joined the Navy, came back, and, you know, it was in a life, rebellious lifestyle, right? Mm-hmm. And drugs, alcohol, violence, jail. And then when God saved me, he transformed my life. I really just wanted to help people.
Yeah.
I felt like God gave me an opportunity to be able to reach people and help them. So that's all I wanted to do.
Yeah.
I never thought of education as a means to do it.
Mm-hmm.
But I just thought, you know, and people need help. I can help them, you know, especially people coming out of the environment that I was involved in.
Yeah.
For so many years. So I, you know, got in ministry and just started doing that. But then after a while, I had not that anyone told me this or anyone talked down to me or anything, but I just had a burning desire to learn more.
Yeah.
But more of it for credibility.
Right.
You know, I was watching this preacher or I was watching this this teacher and he was preaching, teaching.
Yeah.
And he said, yeah, I was watching such and such preacher And she mentioned ABC. I forget what it was, right? ABC. But he was wrong, you know. And as soon as he mentioned that, it was at the beginning of his message that the doctor said she got everything wrong. So I couldn't understand anything that he was saying.
Yeah.
His credibility went down the line. So this doctor is teaching a Bible class and is telling us the reason why education is so important.
Mm.
Because he's saying, I'm listening to a preacher, and within 5 minutes of listening to him, he lost me and I can't hear anything else he says.
Right.
Because in his mind, in the doctor's mind, he was thinking, this guy doesn't know what he's talking about.
Yeah.
And in that moment right there, when I was in that class, I thought, how many people like that have I lost that I haven't been able to reach because I'm wrong?
Yeah.
You know, or because I heard someone say something and I repeated it and never took the time to get educated on it. Right? You know, like many preachers do.
Right.
We hear something that sounds good. We repeat it. We apply it. We work it. We find scripture, you know, with those in academia and theological academia would say, we eisegete to scripture. Like we put in instead of taking out, exegete. Yeah. So I felt like, you know, I need to get back to school and gain some credibility.
Right.
I wanted to write a book.
Yeah.
But I was thinking, how do I write a book without, you know, being a credible source?
Yeah.
You know, there's plenty of books out there that guys don't have degrees or anything.
And they're writing. Yeah.
And they're writing. So that's not you. This is all an internal.
Right. Like whatever you felt convicted about or what felt like you should have done is specific to you, individual to you.
Right.
Other people may not feel the same. Yeah.
And the reason why my journey kind of took me in that direction.
Exactly. Yeah.
I just felt this strong conviction that if I'm going to write a book, I need to have some type of credibility.
Yeah.
And I said, you know, well, I need to then go to school, go back to school.
Mm-hmm.
So I figured my first step was to go back to school and earn an English degree.
Right. And I was about to say, it might be surprising to some people because obviously you have your PhD in leadership. And so it's like, okay, where did you start? What was your first degree? And I feel like English is just, it's a different kind of degree, you know? It's like, okay, why English?
Yeah.
But yeah, you started with the basics.
Yes.
English.
Yeah, I needed to know how to communicate better.
Yeah.
You know, being that I'm a preacher, that I am called to reach other people, I needed to learn how to communicate.
Mm-hmm. And just translating what you're reading into speaking it, or what you're thinking into speaking it.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. You know, tell stories, be creative, be critical, analyze, you know, all of these skills I learned in the English degree.
Yeah.
I had so much to read, you know, so many papers to write.
Maybe.
So I went back in 2008 and the spring of 2008, and I finished the spring of 2010.
Mm-hmm. From UTSA.
Yes.
UTSA. I have early memories. I was, like six. And I remember mom, she would take all of us and we would drop you off to the community college.
Yes,
that you were,
Vista.
Yeah. And you were probably there for like a semester or something?
Yes. I took, I think, two classes there.
Yeah. And so I like remember that way back then. Like, and that's crazy to think that was the start of it.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, you graduated from UTSA. And then what happened after that?
Then I, you know, one of my first classes at UTSA, I was in a writing class, and the professor was a PhD. Her husband was a PhD. And I said, that's just so neat.
Yeah.
You know, like.
It's pretty awesome.
Yeah, it's pretty awesome. You know, but then this is what you mentioned. There's a restaurant, popular restaurant, I guess, Texas, maybe another place. It's Ruth Chris.
Mm.
Fancy restaurant. And my professor was telling us that she had gotten a contract job to redo their menu.
What?
I mean, menu is like filet mignon, whatever, you know. But she framed it and designed it in such a way. She goes, I finished probably in like 30 minutes because she has templates and all that.
Yeah.
She got paid $35,000. And I was like, what?
Wow.
I said, she says, yeah, just because I'm a PhD.
Wow.
You know, she had a PhD in English. So they contracted her to do this. And I was thinking, man, so why would I stop at a bachelor's if there's this that I could do?
Yeah.
So I graduated and I always wanted to go to seminary theology school, you know, obviously because my calling.
Right. Tap into that area.
Yes. Yeah. So, you know, I figured, got my English degree. Now let's go get a divinity degree.
Yeah.
So I enrolled at Dallas Theological Seminary.
DTS.
And we were there for a year.
And again, I do have memories. Nice. Also, we would
tell them what you remember.
Yeah. So I remember we would drive up there once a week, but I don't remember if we went once a week with you guys, but fairly often. And I remember sitting in the school, in the building, and someone that was babysitting us was taking care of us in the hallway, and you and mom were in y'all's class or whatever it was. And I was like eating goldfish sitting outside of y'all's classroom.
Yes.
And so, yeah, that's another thing that I remember.
It was quite a sacrifice. You know, we would drive from San Antonio on Tuesdays to Dallas. And so that we could take some classes on Tuesday night and Wednesday during the day. Mm-hmm. We would take classes. And then right at the end of those classes, we would drive back to San Antonio. Because I think at the time we were having church on Wednesday, so then we changed it to Thursday so that we could drive back.
Oh, is that the reason we changed to Thursdays? Oh, wow. Yeah. It's crazy. Thinking like now that I'm older, having all of us, we were like kids of 2010, right? So yes. I was 8, Judah was 9, Jared was 7, Drew was like 5.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
And so we would take that drive, 5-hour drive every week. Come to school, then go back. And then after that, I transferred to Regent University to finish the MDiv over there because they had a coaching program that I wanted to
get into. Yeah.
So then instead of driving up here, I was flying to Virginia once a semester. So 3 times a year for a week. That I can take my courses and then flying back.
Man.
And, you know, what do you remember on that?
Yeah, I remember FaceTiming you when you were over there. Mom would put us on the computer and get us on FaceTime with you. And we just, like, wanted to talk with you. And we would, like, dance, just, like, all the little things. Yeah. So those are, like, early memories I have. Just you and mom doing stuff for school. And then us just kind of being there, like, okay, yeah. No. So, yeah. Yeah. That was your master's degree.
That was a master's degree. And so from about 2010 to 2014, I was working on the Master of Divinity and I completed it then.
Yeah.
And mom completed her master's 2013.
Yeah. So y'all are both in y'all that journey together, getting a master's degree. And hers was in Christian education.
Yes.
Yeah. And so we went to Virginia in 2013 for mom's graduation. Mm-hmm. And then in 2014 for yours.
Yes. Right?
Yeah.
And we drove.
Yeah. I remember we were excited, my siblings and I, because we were like road trip. Like we get to eat snacks, watching movies.
Yeah.
So, yeah. And again, I have a memory of it was raining on mom's graduation. Yeah. It was very cold. It was outside. Yeah. So, yeah. And then the next year we went to yours.
Yes. And then... after that, we came back home, and I got accepted into the PhD program, but I was so tired of traveling for school that I was looking for something local. So Our Lady of the Lake University there in San Antonio has a PhD program in leadership. So I applied there. I was accepted. And in 2014, I started PhD. And completed that in 2019.
Yes. And that one, obviously, I remember more of when I was in high school or just late at night in middle school, too, seeing you at your computer And at this time, all these years, you didn't have an office, like a home office.
Yeah.
So your computer was right in the living room. And I would see you like late at night working on your assignments after like helping us with homework or whatever. We watch movies, you know.
Yeah. I made it a point not to miss time with y'all.
Yes. So that late at night time was reserved for school.
For school and just my work. And while y'all are asleep, I'm working on my stuff.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. It's not easy, you know, I guess, to get through education at any time, but especially, I guess, when you have family.
Mm-hmm.
I
can imagine, like, for me, it's much more accessible because I don't have kids, I'm not married. And so it's a challenge for me to be able to balance and manage my time for a master's degree because of how much reading and writing it is.
Mm-hmm.
So I can't imagine at the time for you and mom, just the sacrifice and the responsibility it takes.
I had a professor tell me, or tell the class, what do you call a PhD that graduates with the lowest GPA in his class?
Mm-hmm.
And he says, doctor.
Yeah.
He says, whether you have the lowest GPA in your class or the highest GPA, you're still a doctor.
Yeah.
He goes, so don't sacrifice family time for, you know, some goal to want to be 4.0. So I really took that to heart.
Wow.
And I figured, you know, if I get a 3.0 GPA as a PhD, what's the difference from a 4.0 GPA for a PhD?
Yeah.
So I figured, you know, every semester I get my syllabi and I would go through it. And, you know, most of them had 5-6 different writing assignments that I had to do. And they were all like 15-20% of the total grade and all that.
So, yeah.
So I figured, you know, what can I do that's going to keep me at 3.0 so that I can, you know, keep going?
Mm-hmm.
So almost every semester, I picked an assignment that I would not do.
That's crazy.
Not because I didn't want to do it.
Yeah.
But because I needed time with y'all.
Right. Yeah. It's pretty amazing and just interesting to hear from a professor to say that to all of you. 3.0 versus 4.0 GPA, yeah. Whatever it is. It's because I think we're conditioned from just growing up in school and high school to turn every single assignment in and things like that. But depending on the time of your life that you're in, you know, not every assignment is going to be complete, or sometimes you're not going to be able to turn in the whole assignment. But what matters is you make it to the finish line, right? And you pass.
Yes. So what I would do, I would email my professors and tell them, hey, you know, I'm not going to turn this one in.
Yeah.
They said, okay, you understand, you know, it's a zero and it's 10%, 20% of your final grade. I said, yeah,
you're
interesting.
Like, yeah, I'm a dad. I have 4 kids. I'm a pastor. Like, something's got to give, you know? So,
I couldn't drive myself to the ground, or I couldn't alienate you all.
Yeah.
You know, I have 4 kids. We had movie nights every week.
Yeah. And you had a bunch of school events to go to because we were all involved in a bunch of extracurriculars. So it was crazy time.
It was 4 or 5 times a week we had something going on at school.
Yes.
For you guys.
For, just a good couple of months every school year there.
Band, concerts,
outings,
you know, performances, like everything.
So it's just, it makes sense. You know, sometimes that needs to happen, you know, because not every one area is going to be lacking when you're doing that many things at once.
Right.
So
I was also pastoring the church.
Exactly. Which is a full-time job on its own.
We had 3 services a week.
Exactly. And so there's just a lot.
Yes.
But so then you did your dissertation. You defended it in
2019, summer of 2019.
Yeah.
And it was approved. And I was given the PhD, the doctor title. And after that, I wrote the book.
Yes, you finally wrote your book. You had been talking about it for years. So,
yes.
Yeah. But
and again, you know, everyone's journey is going to be different. But I read many books of like pastors And then you read books. Like some of my favorite authors are like R.C. Sproul, Jay Packer, John Piper.
Mm-hmm.
And you read their books and they're very, very clean, articulate.
Yeah.
Inspiring, motivational, informational, academic.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so I'm used to reading.
All through, yeah, those, they're kind of, the way they use words.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, yeah.
It's good for the soul. It's good for the brain. It's mm-hmm. good, you know.
It's important.
It's engaging.
It's important to always be a student.
Yeah.
Especially as a Christian. If you're serving in ministry, if you're a leader, or maybe you're not, you're attending church, whatever it is, it's important to just continue learning and reading. Obviously, an important aspect of our lives is reading the Bible every day.
Mm-hmm.
So again, that's reading, right? And so that's learning and studying. And
yes, you know, reading those books are great. You know, I love a lot of intellect that you can glean from that. So I made a point, me and Mom made a point, we wanted you all to have that opportunity. I was working on PA stuff, trying to get all the benefits that y'all needed, you know, for school and all that.
Oh, yeah.
So I worked on all that for since y'all were born. And then one of the main motivations was you all, why I went back to school. I didn't want, when you guys are this age, I didn't want you to say, Dad, you know, you dropped out. Why should I go to school?
And again, this was your own individual motivation.
Yes, it was just mine. I didn't want to tell you to do something that I was not willing to.
Right.
So it's part of the reason why I went back. And then during that time, my dad was sick. Grandma was sick. Mm-hmm. Mom's mom was sick.
And y'all both lost your parents in that time.
During that time frame, yeah. And, you know, that added pressure, and then during that time, me and you went out to eat, like we do every birthday, and then
when we went to Whataburger.
Yeah.
Oh, okay, yeah. Now, yes. So we went out to eat. I was 13.
No, younger.
Oh, yeah, yeah. You're right.
You were 11. Like 11, yeah.
Yes, I was 11, and we were homeschooled.
Mm-hmm.
And I was homeschooled till elementary school. And so I had this, like, I wanted to go to public school so bad just to, like, be around other people, like, all the things, you know. And it had never left me. I was like, I want to do it. And so then we went out to eat, and then I asked you. And I don't really remember how the conversation went, but I know that I did ask you.
Yes. We were, like, every birthday, I would take individuals.
Yes.
You know, but that was your time to ask me or tell me anything you want.
We just talked, you know, one.
Yes. And you said, so, Dad? I said, yeah. He goes, can I add something? I said, sure. She goes, I really want to go.
Yes, and I did. Like, I felt so strongly about it at 11 years old. And I remember you were like, you smiled and you're like, laughed a little bit. So actually now I never asked you, but what were you thinking at that time when I asked you? Because it probably seemed like I was being very serious.
No, it was a very serious conversation. But I was thinking, like, kids.
Yeah.
I was like, hated school. Like,
yeah.
Man, if I had an opportunity to be homeschooled.
Right.
I would love it.
Yeah.
And here I am with my daughter, and she's begging me, Nessun,
yes.
I want to go to school.
Yes.
And I said, okay, let me think about it. Let me pray. So we did, and I said, but what was my condition? That your brother.
Judah goes, yeah. So.
I said, if one of you goes, then everybody goes.
Yes. Yeah.
And so you have to talk to your brother, your sister.
Yeah. So me and Judah started going. We enrolled in the next school year, which was 2013. And that's when I was in sixth grade. Judah was in seventh grade. So yeah, that was the start of my like public education journey starting then. And yeah, obviously had a really good time.
And then we moved schools, and Judo ended up going to, it was his freshman year, and I moved schools my 8th grade year. And anyway, we went to high school, and then all of us ended up going to that school 1 year after the other.
That class of 19, 20, 21, and 20.
Yeah. Yeah. And so for me, just growing up doing that in public school, I always had just, I guess, I set higher goals for myself with my grades and things like that. And my teachers were great all throughout middle school and high school. They always just encouraged me and spoke up, like try to build me up, I think. And so, yeah, I don't know. Ever since I was 11, I just wanted to make the best grades. It was very satisfying to me. And so then in high school, I like really committed myself to that, just making really good grades. And
me and mom found out about dual credit.
Yes.
Freshman year.
Yes. So that was a big difference, obviously, from your high school experience all the way in the 80s and mine. And honestly, our high school is different from a lot of schools in San Antonio because the teachers that offered dual credit classes, they had to have a master's degree. I think
yes, it was minimum.
It was a requirement or something. And in order to be able to do dual credit, offer that. And so, yeah, y'all learned of it and y'all basically told us over and over and over again, you're doing dual credit. And basically it's, you're getting the college credit for the class that you're taking. And basically that's all it is. So you're taking English 3 AP class, AP/dual, and it's the exact same thing as the AP class, except you're getting college credit.
Right.
So you enroll, if you will, at a community college, and then you're getting the credit. And so, yeah, I was always in the pre-AP or the AP classes, the advanced classes. And so I racked up a good amount of college credits. Judah did, Geraldine did, Jerry did. And I remember my junior year of high school, my English teacher, she really, really emphasized dual credit. And thankfully, I was already in dual credit. So I wasn't one of those where she was like, why aren't you doing credit? It's free college. Like, and anyway, I remember one day she dedicated a whole class period to just talking about college. And I was like, that's crazy. It's pretty amazing, like, for a teacher to do that and just to answer questions. And so it was a whole class and we were taking notes. And she shared a story of a student she had a year and a half prior. And she went to UT, graduated in a year and a half from the dual credit she did. And ever since that moment, I was like, oh my gosh, I'm doing that. If this girl can do it, then I'm going to do it too. And so ever since then, I was so inspired and just, so then that was always been like that. So then I did a bachelor's degree, 2.5 years. And I did it. Yeah. Shout out to my English teacher. She really, ever since that moment.
Ms. Francell.
Yes.
She was great. Man. She was too, like, she was very quiet.
Yeah.
Don't assume. Eventually. We'll have him on. But she's very quiet. Like Ms. Franchel, just she had a way of just communicating with Judo that really motivated and really helped them. And she had that large project that the whole school did. They were in her class. Well, what do they call it?
The case
book.
Yeah. And basically, she gave it to you a couple months in advance and said it's 2 April, whatever day it was. So you just have to manage it. And
you know, you don't ever write one page pretty much for months. The whole binder.
It's a big binder.
Yeah, all the pages.
Yeah. And so, yeah, she was a really great teacher. She was just very thoughtful and considerate of the student. Feel that she would reach out for you class as a student. She would write letters to you. So
that was a big sacrifice also. You know, I guess financially, you know, to put into an area that can offer guys, you know, quality education.
Right. Quality public education.
Yes.
Yeah. So I forgot to say, I'm very grateful. I give a lot of credit to a lot of our teachers in high school because I really feel like we want you to be I intentionally surrounded myself with students that were had higher goals like me. And so, and then those teachers were great. They had some really good teachers ever in theirs. And so now that was the sacrifice that y'all intentionally made to bring us over there.
That was crazy. Like, it's for a world. It's for a world. I remember that GPA was like 98.5 or something like that.
Yeah.
And you were like 101.
Yeah.
I was like, what? Sure. Like, I'm like 0.5 GPA. You're still right 100.
Yes. That's exactly the nature of it. In high school, all of my friends were in like top 100. GPAs were 99.01. You can get up there. And yeah. Foundation was great.
Yeah.
Yes, that could be a lot of students there held themselves to a higher standard. Was
great. So, yeah, all your children, starting from a high school dropout, you know, to having four children, right? High school, and all. Them, they all have a bachelor's. Two of them are graduate program, master's program. The third one is about to start this fall. I'm sure Jariah will not at some point in a master's program as well. It's just part of the conversation that what we're talking about is how we each in a generation.
Yeah.
Like, my mom and dad have elementary school level education from Mexico. He brought us to America. I dropped out. My oldest sister and graduated. The two oldest, they dropped out. My older brother dropped out. I dropped out. And it was the second four, because we're eight. It was the second four that graduated high school. No one ever been to college on side of the tree on my mom and dad.
Mom's dad.
What? For mom, on my side.
On your side.
Yes.
Right.
On my side of the family, no one had ever been to college.
Yeah.
You know, my dad always talked about just working. So I get to college, and I'm the first person ever on my side of the family to ever go to college. And now all my children completed bachelor's degree. So that's like, wow. It's incredible.
Yeah. So after that, then I decided going to school, completing that. So I graduated from college. And then obviously joined Jer and then Jeraria. And then it was two years after graduating from college, I decided to go back and get my master's degree. Know what I wanted to get it in, and then one last summer I just clicked, and I was like, okay, yeah, go to Liberty and get a master's degree. And so, yeah, yes, and the school, it's the professors are amazing, like, very well educated people, and I've learned so much from them, and not just from them, but from all the books that they're providing that I'm reading, and I remember I told you, oh my gosh, all the stuff I'm reading is so like valuable to me, and I read it, I'm like, oh, that's so true. Like, now I know they're putting words to experiences that I've trapped upon and things that I can apply to specifically in ministry, or not even in ministry, as a disciple of Jesus, which is what all of us Christians are. And again, what I've learned in my master's degree. Right? Like, I don't know, there's just some things that you don't even think of prior going to school. And so, yeah, I've learned about how important it is to continue in education.
Like, no, Paul mentions that. Study to show yourself approved.
Yes, and I was going to say, Paul is he was always a student.
He was, I guess, in his world, he would be considered a theologian. Modern day theologian, you know, theologian. She the scriptures, And she tells us, you can show yourself. And you notice, I think all the disciples, you know, say 80, 90% of the disciples were uneducated, unlearned.
Yeah.
The Bible's clear on that. It says, when people saw disciples, they're like, how can they speak like that if they are unlearned?
Right.
You know, in other words, they probably need formal education.
Yeah.
But spending time with Jesus, they learned how to communicate better, how to speak better, how, you know, analyzing things, you know, because Jesus always said, you've heard this, but I tell you.
Yeah.
So he was always analyzing what was taught and refocusing people on the way that it should.
Yeah.
And I think college can do that. Obviously, you know, you see all the brainwashing as people talk about. That was a real concern for Mom and I. That you guys would go to college and they would not.
Yeah.
And you guys had a real solid foundation. And, yeah. And were able to, you know, even within a secular school, would consider it a secular school, you guys excelled.
Yeah. I think it's just being grounded in your beliefs and having a solid foundation of, like us, the Bible, and being able to go into school with that mindset, no matter where you go, you know, whether you're at Harvard or UTSA. I have a friend right now, and she's talking about her experience continuing to get her bachelor's degree. And she's like, yeah, I have to write about this, but I know that I don't really believe it. I just kind of got to write about it. She has a strong or solid foundation in what she believes. And I was going to say, too, in my class, a book that I'm reading right now, there's a quote from it, and I forgot exactly what it was, but it was something like continuing to work on your craft and perfecting your skill, whatever it is important because God can use those and be able to glorify him, and you're able to do more to be a disciple of Jesus. So the more it, and basically translates to what you say a lot, the more that you have in you, the more God can draw out of you.
Yes.
So that applies with education.
Yes. And I was just thinking that I've often told, you know, a distant pastor, people that I say, hey, you know, cover today's sermon, preach, and scared. Well, before getting them there, mentoring them to that position where they can go and preach, teach a class, my number one thing has always been read.
Yeah. And it's because no one likes to read.
Yeah.
And I say no one, but a good amount of us, we don't like reading. But I remember you would say, really like reading what you're reading, everything on social media. True. You're reading captions. You're reading everything.
I mean, you read. It's interesting too.
Right.
You want to read. And go hours laughing and all the reading.
Yeah.
Like, you know, I think when I tell people, just read, thinking formal, the formal, no, just read.
Right.
The more information you have, the more you feed yourself, the more that's inside. It's inside. God can draw it out.
And it naturally comes out of you. Like, before starting my master's, we always recommend books to us. And when I read those books, naturally I'm talking to my, oh yeah, in this book I read this. And it just comes out of you.
Yeah, you know, but forever since y'all finished high school, before high school, I would tell y'all, you know. So whenever I time.
Yeah, and like you said, it would be like formal reading. You would give us, who's the author?
Yes.
His books are like smaller. They're so good. It doesn't even. A whole elaborate, huge book that's filled with all this.
Outliers, Malcolm Gladwell.
Oh, yeah. I read that one in high school.
Different authors that I would, not necessarily just church or religion or Christianity.
Just like nonfiction.
Yeah, nonfiction. That's what I read, and that's what I would read.
Yeah, and I feel like I sound so, I don't know, boring, I guess, saying it, but I love reading nonfiction books.
Yes.
I guess to my younger self, I sound boring. But yeah, nonfiction, you'd be surprised at how just interesting and very engaging those books can be. And they help critical thinking and just so much.
You're reading someone else's perspective in life. Yeah. And someone who had excelled, succeeded, and instead of repeating those mistakes, why not repeat the success? May work for you, may not. You won't know until you write it.
Right.
You know, and you won't know unless you know.
Right. Exactly.
And that's what, like, you don't know what you don't know.
Yes. And then until you know, it's like, mind blown.
Even that thing, no, some people are like,
don't know what you don't know.
We don't know what we don't know. When we find out,
yes. Like,
what's that, saying, us generation, I was today years old?
Yes, I was today years old and I realized, ..
And let that be your life model. I was today years old when I learned. But yes. I always learn.
Yes, I consistently, when I'm reading my books for school especially, of course, I consistently have that moment. Oh my gosh, I had no idea. Like, oh, that makes so much sense. Or light bulb moment or whatever.
And it just continues to give perspective on someone else's life.
Yeah.
Maybe someone else's journey.
Right. You're
able to help a little better.
Yeah.
Instead of, you know, like, I don't know. Like,
right.
Shooing them away. Have a critical conversation to find solutions. To find ways to move forward.
Yes, that reminds me, in my contemporary evangelism class I'm taking right now, book on evangelism, the author shared a story of basically they were trying to help bring someone to Jesus and explaining that they rushed the process. And so the author was describing how the idea of how we need to let the Holy Spirit do work, and sometimes we need to quiet and not force or rush someone into being saved. It's only the Holy Spirit that can be able to do that.
Exactly.
And so reading that book, I've learned with evangelism that that's how I need to be operating with people that are not saved yet. And just operating in that patience and having a heart for showing them that I truly care about them.
Right.
You know, and so without reading the book, I would have had, you know, I wouldn't have known that yet, right?
In my PhD research, my dissertation, there's an adage that says people don't care how much you know until they know how much you care.
Yeah.
And my research seems to align with that and seems to prove that or add more credit to that adage. It was on emotional intelligence and authentic leadership. In essence, it says the more relational, transparent you are in relationships, the more transparent you are, you say, well, I don't know, you can figure it out. You know, the more transparent you are in relationships, the more people listen to you.
Right.
You know, but the more you sound like you know everything, less people want to know what you know.
Right. And it has to do with reliability. Like, being able to relate to someone and get on that similar level as them.
Yes. And that's been our goal, is to help you and your siblings to a point where you're relating and you're helping.
Yeah. Like,
what do we always talk about as far as ministry and how we minister to people? And, you know, we have to do what to them. Just help them out.
Yeah. And a lot of it is just meeting people where they're at, especially like as Christians. A lot of us, it's unfortunate, we see on social media, we're judging other Christians that maybe aren't mature in certain areas yet.
Right.
That's the big key, is yet. And so some of us Christians are judging them and telling them, you can't be wearing that. Okay, maybe I know that I shouldn't be wearing that. Maybe they're not there yet, right? So it's getting to their level and just continuing to pray for them and build them up and, you know, knowing and being confident that with the Holy Spirit, they're going to get there one day.
Exactly. And love people.
Yes. Loving people is not judging them.
You know, what I tell you, I love, you know, sometimes I feel like, don't love me that way.
Love covers a multitude of sins. And I've learned so much about that from you. And loving me through, like, maybe bad things I've done or difficult times I've gone through, it really has transformed my life and helped me, I guess, out of hard times. Love is so powerful. So for us Christians to be able to do that with others, they can help so much.
Yes. A kind of God's love.
Yeah.
Just pass it on. The way God loves you, you love others.
Yeah.
You know, and God is not that you follow your instincts.
Right.
God's that product of all experiences and having people around and love. Yeah. And that's what our ministry is about.
Yeah.
Is love. I've always told my family, stay. They ask, well, you know, how do I put a person? Whatever. Build them up. And you're such, people in all the states.
Yeah.
They mess up. They shame.
Yeah.
It's, you know, I've always said, when you're walking around, they're fighting. You know, they're not fighting. No. Because I'm 1 year old, 1.5 years, you know, they're very simple. They're very serious.
Crazy that your age, all right.
So, that means that no people, they love
that it's well,
right. That you love, they strong. And you see, that's it. That maybe comes with education.
Yeah.
Study to show yourself approved.
Yeah. I was about to say, a couple years ago, before I had read a couple books and before I read more of the Bible, maybe what I thought about loving people and helping them get through things is way different than my view on it now. But because I continue studying, you know, it's all about, I'm forgetting the word.
For
continuing to
evolve.
Yeah. And in the word in the Bible,
progress.
It's a biblical word.
Transform.
Oh my gosh. I can't.
Like exegete.
Sanctification.
Oh, yeah. The process of sanctification.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. Sorry. Yes. So all the way. Yeah. And so being able to continue in that and you just continue. Grow.
It's progressive. Sanctification. You know, so it's there's a couple of schools of thoughts here. People say, you know, sanctification happens 100% that's ours. And I with that in the sense that we are now set apart.
Yeah.
Sanctification also is progressive. And that you're going to grow through what that was.
Yeah. You're continuing to be spiritually transformed. And so, yeah, that whole process is so important to continue studying because the more you study, the more you're going to grow, the more you're going to learn and be a better disciple of Jesus.
And that's the ultimate thing. The ultimate thing. The number 1%. Everyone. Disciple. Jesus. But like Jesus.
Okay.
And what we learn, don't.
Yeah, one of the books that I read years ago, like first year callers that you gave me, like the people God, it helped me a lot. Just continue my walk with God because it just established like who God, just the author wrote about different parts of God. And so I feel like that was my first introduction into just faith based books. So not just the Bible, but faith-based books paired with it too. And like we said, nonfiction. So
So yeah, faith-based books are valuable. You know, a lot of pastors out there will write books.
Yeah.
I've read many books of pastors, and sometimes you can almost sense that they took they recorded their sermon and someone transcribed it and then published, which is wonderful, you know, in today's society that it can happen and you can do that. But I would caution in the sense of, do a little bit more on that. Faith-based books are wonderful, but make sure that you know what you're feeding yourself.
Right. Yeah, that's very important.
Yeah, there's a lot of food out there.
Yeah.
Not all the food is good for you.
It's very true. Very good point.
Yeah. So
have that discernment.
Yes, have a discernment. Allow the Holy Spirit to help you.
Yeah.
Not just because she's a pastor doesn't mean that she's a well-educated or can write well.
Yeah.
You know, sometimes I prefer listening to a pastor than reading what they're putting out, because what they're putting out is like what they were preaching.
Right.
You know, so that's why I went back to school.
Yeah.
Because I want you to have a level of credibility to my writing, not necessarily to my preaching only, but to my writing. And I think that as ministers of the gospel, that's something that we should, you know, not every disciple wrote.
Yeah.
But they all preached, they all made disciples. You know, writing requires you to have, I guess, a deeper level of education, more study, more to give. Again, if it's in you, God will draw it out of you.
Yeah.
The more you put in you,
the
more God can draw on you.
Yeah. I feel like the big point of what we're talking about today is just continue to educate yourself, whether it's reading these really good books that, you know, you've done research on,
mm-hmm.
or going back to school.
Yes.
Or getting your master's degree, you know?
Education doesn't necessarily
encapsulate school.
It or degree.
Right. Yeah.
It doesn't equal degree.
Yes.
Like, education may not get you an associate's, a bachelor's, master's, or even a doctorate degree, but it will get you information.
Yeah.
And information is needed for transformation.
Yeah.
But information alone is not enough.
Right.
The Bible says knowledge plus information is not enough. You need some type of motivation. Calling God is motivation enough to become all that God wants.
Yeah. That's the important thing, is God needs to call in all of our lives. And so being all that God wants us to be requires us to continue building more in what we're learning.
If you're an AC guy, learn everything that you can learn about AC. Read. Watch videos, read.
Yeah.
You know, find out how other people work the problem.
Right. Because like you said, education equal degree. So maybe looking up some YouTube videos. The great thing about the internet is that we have this vast resource of like a bunch of videos that we can learn from.
Yeah. So, education doesn't necessarily mean to get a degree.
Yeah.
But it is, or it is a way to learn.
Yeah.
You know, you may not need a degree and you may not feel that accomplishment to have a degree, but you should always learn.
Yes.
If you are alive, you should learn.
Being like a student.
Yes. Like a student. You got to read. I challenge you all. At least read one.
It's a good challenge. Yeah, it's good.
Yeah, let us know. Hey, send us the information. That's it. You're reading. Maybe you can pick them up. I'm sure you have.
Yeah. Yeah.
We'll pick them up and eventually we'll recommend some books from Martin. Yeah. But again, thank you so much. Go to renewedmind.us. That is our podcast website. You'll be able to hear the audio and watch the video. You can see a little clip there. You can watch the video on there as well. Share our podcast with others. Please rate it, like it, market it for us. Help us to grow. If it's helping you, that's all we're looking for. We want to be able to help you become all that God wants you to be. But we do thank you for watching us. And I am Dr. Jane.
And thank
you. Lord bless and make his face keep shining upon you. Lord, be gracious to you. Bless.